Well, I also wanted to welcome the Osborne contingency, my family back there. We used to kid Alan and David that they were like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in the movie Twins, because they were like this. So for the longest time, we called David Arnold. Yes. But he's like our son, and we love him and his family. So glad to have you here tonight. I want to just read you a scripture first of all. First of all, I don't want to read a scripture. I want to just say that the Lord has already begun to speak some of what is on my heart tonight, which happens very often. I know, Eric, it's happened. It's probably happened to all of us that speak, that we begin to hear through the service. And this was not the original word that I had prepared for tonight either. It switched kind of midweek, and then the Lord confirmed it in a few different ways. So Psalm 34:8 says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, woman and child, that trusts in him." Father, I thank you for your word, that it's true. And I pray, Father, that it would do what you've intended it to do tonight in each of us, myself included. Lord, that we would know more about you, that we would love you more at the end of this evening, Lord God, than we do right now. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I got thinking about that today. Em and I had a cousin who had no sense of smell. And so she couldn't taste anything because all of your senses are involved. And when you see something, you get the vision of it. And so the scripture is saying, I want every part of you to know that God is good. I want you to taste it. I want you to smell it. I want you to feel it. I want you to see it. I want you to hear it, that God is good. And you will be blessed if you trust in that. Now, you know, I could go around the room, and we've all got our stories from this last year. And not all of them have been what we would call good. There are circumstances and hard times that we all go through. And sometimes it can be discouraging. And sometimes we have questions. And we've talked about that even just recently, that we have questions sometimes about, God, why do these things happen? Why isn't the thing I thought was going to happen happened? And you know, we're not the first ones to wonder that too. In Job 30:26, it says, "When I looked for good, then evil came to me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness." And you know, what the Lord asks us when these difficult times happen, whether it's a loss of some sort or a disappointment or a financial situation or an illness, the Lord comes and says to us, "Do you still think I'm good? Even in the face of this thing that's just happened." And you know, the enemy would very much like us not to believe that God is still good. And I want to talk tonight a little bit about what some of the ramifications are, why it's so important for him to make us believe that God is not good. If he can make us believe that God is not good, it will affect every part of our lives. It began really in the garden. God walked intimately with Adam and Eve. They had everything they needed provided for them, and they had one boundary: do not touch the tree of good and evil. Don't eat of it. Don't touch it. And the enemy came and convinced Eve that God had withheld something good from her. He came and tempted her and told her, you know what? He doesn't want you to be like him, and that's why. He had convinced her that what God said was not good was good. And she doubted in that temptation that God himself was good. It begins very often with a disappointment, this mindset. And I know that as Al was talking about our hearts and our minds changing tonight, that this is something that can sneak in very subtly for the enemy to try and convince us. Just like Eve, we cannot allow the enemy to define to us what is good and what is not good. And we have to, when our circumstances tell us one thing, when our emotions agree with our circumstances, we have nothing to rely on but the character of God. And we have to hold on to what we know is true about his character when these things come against us. And that is that intrinsically, through and through, God is good. That his character is good. That his intention is good. That his heart is good towards us, regardless of what our eye sees and what we taste in our mouth. He wants us to taste and to see, regardless of our circumstances, that he is good. You know, if we think that the Christian life is without hard times, we're mistaken. As I said, I could go around this room, and this has been a rough year for some of us. There have been many things that have gone on that have not been easy. But listen to this. In Psalm 84, it says in verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed and fortunate and to be envied is the man who trusts in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you, and that without fear and without misgiving. That we can believe without fear and without misgiving that God is good, and that he will withhold no good thing from us. Now, what is good for me, however, there are general things that are good and that are not good. But then I believe, because God is so intimate and so personal with each of us, that there are things that are good for me that would not be good for Al. And there are things that are good for Susan that would not be good for Bonnie. And so it is that personal. And so we can't even judge by what is happening to another person, whether it's good or not. And very often, the disappointment that triggers this whole thing will start when we see something that we think would be good for us happening to someone else. And we forget that God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And we need to know what the word says to believe what his character is. I've shared this analogy before, but years ago at a woman's meeting, Margie Stevens shared this picture. She was peeling a carrot. And the Lord said to her, "I want you to be like this carrot." She's like, "Okay, what does that mean?" And he said, "I want you to be orange all the way through. I want what's on the inside to be the same as what's on the outside. I want you to be intrinsically something. Just like God, He is good through and through. He cannot be anything but good. I'm going to bombard you with some scriptures too fast for you to look up. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Ezra 3:11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 25:8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He will teach sinners in the way. Psalm 52:1. The goodness of God endures continually. Psalm 52:9. God's name is good before thy saints. Psalm 69:16. Hear me, O God, for thy loving kindness is good. Psalm 73:1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart. Psalm 86:5. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 100:5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Psalm 119:39. God's judgments are good. 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. Psalm 135:3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Psalm 143:10 in Nehemiah 9:20. God's spirit is good. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust Him. Matthew 19:17. Jesus said, no one is good but God. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. Romans 2:4. Do you despise the riches of His goodness? Don't you know it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? And I repeat again, God cannot be anything but good. What does that include? What does goodness include? Oh, some of you are probably waiting for a definition. It means not the absence of evil, believe it or not, according to Webster's 1828. It means valid. It means being legally firm. It means not weak and not defective. And goodness is the state of being good in excellence or perfection, in qualities which constitute great value. His goodness is His validity. It makes what He does covenant. Legally firm, His goodness. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in James it says, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning in Him, not even the least little bit of turning. He is good. Now, what would the consequences be if, like Eve, the enemy got you to believe that God was not good? That maybe He was good some of the times when things were going our way, when His good fit our definition of good. What are the consequences of that happening? Well, we read in Romans 2 that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So we start right at the very act of repentance. Without His goodness, without acknowledging that we have a Savior, that in His love and kindness and mercy He died for us, we would have no repentance. We sang tonight a beautiful songs about, Lord, having Your way in us. Have Your way in us. Would You ever totally surrender to someone you thought was not good? Would you come into a place of intimacy that God is calling you to if you believed that they were only good some of the time? It will break our intimacy with God. Are we able to wholeheartedly worship a God that we don't think is good? That we have to kind of come near and hide our face? How would we pray for the burdens and the cares of our heart if we didn't believe that God was good? Why would we have any ability to believe his promises if he wasn't good? And how would we grow through discipline if we thought he was an abusive father? If we didn't believe that even his discipline of us was because he was good and he loved us? How could we evangelize and share the gospel with other people if we didn't believe that God was good? If we went to someone and said, well, you know, there's Jesus, and most of the time he's a really good God. Would you like to surrender your life to him? I'm thinking no. And what about warfare? What about fighting the enemy? What if we have the concept that God is not always good? What follows? Does that mean that the enemy's not always evil? And when we open that door, God says it's a woe. It's a big woe. Because in Isaiah 5:20 it says this: woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If we are not 100% convinced in the deepest place of our lives that God is good and that the enemy is evil all of the time, we are going to open doors. We are going to leave cracks and windows for him to come in and give us his definition, just like he did Eve, of what is good. And no matter what you think about every aspect of your life, your family life, your children, how about your peace of mind? If we are not convinced that God is good when not so good things happen, because you know what? Not so good things happen. But it says in Philippians, set your mind on these things, the things that are good and holy and pure and true and of good report. Put your mind on those things. Forsake the others. And what about Romans 28 that says, even the bad things, God promises he will work them for good if we love him and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. I don't know how he does that. We don't need to know always how he does that. Right. But he promises that even the bad things that are really bad, they're all redemptive if we believe that in the hands of a good God, he can turn it around and use it for his glory. Why do we do it? Sometimes because we make God too human. We think he's changeable. We think he's a man and he doesn't always tell the truth. Some of it has to do with past hurts. We get disappointed sometimes when good things happen to people who we don't consider good. Have you ever thought, look at this guy. He doesn't know the Lord. He lives like hell, excuse me. And all this wonderful stuff is happening to him. And here I am doing the best I can to follow God. And look what my portion is. And if you entertain that thought for any length of time, the enemy will be right there to say, yeah, and you know what else? And you know who else? If we don't believe that God is good, and when that kind of thought comes to our mind, just as the Lord was speaking to us, to take those thoughts captive, to let our hearts be changed, and we say, enemy, I don't care what you parade before me, my God is good. Yes. And I don't care how I feel or what it looks like with my natural eye, my God is good. Sometimes we get too busy looking for answers. We want good things without wanting the one who's good. That's right. We want to be comfortable. We want to be rich. We want to be healthy. We want good things. Sometimes to the loss of the one who is good. Because we don't believe he's good in those situations. When we're sick or when have had an accident. Or when we have no money, or when someone dies. Job came to a bottom line, you know, at the end. His one big conclusion was this, you're God and I'm not. And I may not understand everything that happens. I may not. Al, do you understand everything that happens? I don't either. I don't understand everything that happens, but I don't need to. What I need to know is that my God is good and that he's trustworthy and that he loves me and that his mercy goes on forever. You know, I know my little friend David down there likes the Chronicles of Narnia like I do. Right, David? Yeah, he told me he likes them. And you know, one of my favorite lines was from Lucy at the end of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when she said, he's not tame, but he's good. God's not tame. He's not a hand puppet for us, but he's good. He will do things his way. Now, Ron had wanted to be here tonight because he knew in sharing this word that I wanted to share something personal about what we'd been going through. And some of it, bits and pieces, I've shared here and there. So some of it will be redundant to you. But the Lord has just recently, in the last month or so, really given us an overview of what's been happening in these last 4 years. Some not, in the world's eyes, some not very good things have happened to Ron. And it began 4 years ago, before even his first knee surgery, when the doctor had said for him to be able to have the surgery, he had to go off the prednisone that he was taking. And you can't just do that. You can't just stop taking it. And so we began a very, very slow taper off that medication for him to be able to have this surgery. And he began to get sicker and sicker and sicker. Until really we had no choice but to take him to the hospital. And honestly, through all that he has been through in these ensuing 4 years, I don't think I have ever, and those of you, some of you were there visiting him that night, I have never seen him in such pain, incredible pain. And the hospital was very, very busy that night. And so he was in a hallway for about 5.5 hours. And because they weren't exactly sure what they were dealing with, he couldn't have anything to help him. And I had to keep going out because it was so hard to watch him be in such excruciating pain. But one of the times I was there with me, he called me close to him and he said, I'm probably going to cry through most of this, so. He said, I don't care if I die. I will never forsake God because he's been so good to me. It was shortly after that, he told me that this young man in a uniform, looked like an orderly or a tech or whatever they're called these days, began to minister to him. And any little thing he needed, this kid kept coming. He'd bring him water. He would reposition him. He would just come and stick his head in and say, what can I do for you? My name is Simeon, and anything, just call me. And this kid was really unusual looking. He was 20-ish, maybe, and he had darkish skin and long hair, long ponytail, hair slicked back, and kind of Asian and maybe black, I wasn't sure, but with the sweetest spirit. And Ron had been so moved and so touched by his ministry to him. And he said it was the only thing that really got him through that night until they could treat him, was the sweetness of this young man that ministered to him. And it came after, it's important that you realize this chronology, it came after that thing he said to me. I don't care if I die, I will never forsake God. Well, we didn't know it right away, but we found out later, through a long story too complicated to tell right now, that there has never been anyone employed in the emergency room named Simeon. Never. Not ever. No one knew him. No one had heard of him. No one had ever seen him before. And so we knew, as soon as he made that declaration, I don't care, my God is good, he sent him an angel. He sent him an angel so that he would know, no matter what it is you go through, I'm there with you. I won't ever let you go through it alone. I won't leave your side. And if you are too sick to know it's me, I'll send a Simeon. I'll send an angel to take care of you. Two nights later, Ron was in a room, finally, and he was praying and thanking God for the ambulance drivers and his friends who had come and stayed with him, for Simeon and the people who had taken care of him. And he opened his eyes, and standing at the end of the bed is who he called a matronly-looking woman. Gray hair, nothing significant about her, pleasant-looking. And he was surprised. And she said to him, I can help you if you let me. And he said, I beg your pardon? She said to him a second time, I can help you if you let me. And something in his spirit, as sick as he was, began to churn. And he began to feel uncomfortable. And a third time, she looked him in the eye and said, I can help you if you let me. And he said, although she never spoke the words, he had a knowing inside him that if he agreed to let this woman help him, the pain would go away. But instead of that, he sat up, pointed his finger at the end of the bed, and said, "I rebuke you in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." And she melted into the floor. Just like Eve, who hid the presence of God with her, then an offer of maybe there's something better. Maybe the pain will go away. But the enemy could not touch Ron without his permission. And even in his weakened state, his spirit knew, and he had declared, "My God is good, and I'm not taking second best." And it was established in that moment who was going to be the Lord of the next 4 years. Who was the boss of this thing? Now, let me tell you. Neither Ron nor any of us would choose this road to suffer in the way that he has in the last 4 years. In the last 4 years, he's been hospitalized 11 times. And in of the 11 times, 3 of the times he has come very, very close to dying. In all 3 of those times, a doctor has come to me and said he should not be alive. There is nothing we have done that should cause him to still be alive. And the Lord said to me, and it has brought great comfort to my soul, it is not the medical profession that is keeping this man alive. We are not against doctors. We go to doctors. They're gifts from God, most of them. I have to qualify that slightly. But it is God who is keeping my husband and every one of you in this room alive. And I know whenever it is his time to go, it will not be anything but God that says, "Time to come home." And this last time, as you know, we went in, they sent him home too soon, we went back. And I also confess to you my rotten attitude about that, that I had to repent about that. But we were talking the second time he was back in about 11 times in 4 years. What the heck? We were not mad at God. We were not railing against him. We were just like, "Oh my goodness." And on the way home that night, I was talking to the Lord, and I'm just like, "Lord, 11 times in 4 years." And instantly, I was reminded of a prophetic word that Ron and I had 30 years ago that said we would have a hospital ministry. This is not what we planned when we heard that word. It was not the interpretation that we walked away with. We thought, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we were going to put on our Christian thing, you know, and go to the hospital and pray for sick people, and they would get healed, and it would be wonderful. And, you know, we have prayed for people in hospitals many times over the 40 years we've been saved and 30 years since that word came forth, but we've never been able to call it a ministry. In this last 4 years, we have had a hospital ministry. And what the world might call evil and bad, how we even interpreted that word. I want to give you something. I want to give you a gift of ministering to people in hospitals. This isn't what we thought would happen. But in those 4 years, he has probably witnessed to well over 100 people. He, you know, we've laughed about this, has perfected his 2-minute testimony. So he can zip it off, you know, to anybody that'll stand still long enough. And I'm talking about doctors, nurses, technicians, cleaning ladies, the lady that brings the tray with his food. We have had a chance to share his testimony over, over, and over again. And in through it all, we've been able to say, this isn't the circumstance we would have chosen for this ministry to be played out. But God, you say it's good. You say this ministry is a gift, and you don't give gifts that aren't good. Are we always happy about it? No, we are not. I'm just going to be honest. This last time before we left, and Alan Casey, you haven't heard this part yet. Before we were gone, a Muslim doctor had a Bible in her hand. Dr. Khan, we've been praying for her, some of us. And he said to me, I get the big picture now. God, in his mercy, has shown me the big picture. And he said, I don't want to leave this hospital until this assignment is finished. What God calls good isn't always what we call good. But if we believe with all of our hearts that God is good, regardless of how he plays it out, because you know what it says? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has ways of doing things that we don't choose. But I can't imagine those people not hearing about the Lord, those 100 or so people that he's gotten a chance to minister to. And you guys, I know, have testimonies like that. I remember when Jessie had her accident, Alan Casey, the first thing they did was worship. Their daughter was in a horrible accident, and they closed the door immediately on the enemy to say, God's not good. And they made a conscious decision to say, this thing may not have been good, but God, you are good, and you are still worthy to be worshiped, and we are going to do that. In Exodus 33, God had called Israel to the base of Mount Sinai. And he had wanted all of them to be priests. But God manifested himself in a way that they didn't think was right. They didn't think this was God or good, because it included shaking and rumbling and noise and lightning and fire. And so they stepped back and they said, Moses, you go. You go and tell us what he said, because this does not appear good to us. So we're going to wait down here. And then what did appear good to them became idolatry in the form of a golden calf. God said to Moses, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make this trip with you, because you're a bunch of screw-ups, and I don't really want to go. I'm not going. And Moses said, God, you've got to go. That's the thing that distinguishes us from every other nation on the face of the earth, is that you go with us. God, if you don't go, we're not going. And God said, okay, I'll go. And Moses said, in this intimate moment, will you show me your glory? Verse 18, it says, and Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And here's what God said. I will make my goodness to pass before you. His goodness is his glory. His goodness is his glory. I will make my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you, and I will be gracious, and I will show mercy and loving kindness, on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. His goodness was his glory. Ron wanted me to tell you tonight. He was supposed to preach tonight, but you know how we switch things around here. And he and I are one. So we're making a declaration again tonight that no matter what it looks like, we want you to know that we believe with all of our heart that God is good. And I challenge you, each and every one of you, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what the enemy has told you that God has withheld from you, that you would make that same decision, that your circumstances and your emotions are not going to dictate what you believe, but that you will make that same declaration. God, no matter what, even if it kills me, I will worship you because you are good. Amen.
Scripture says, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. That should be your song everywhere you go, every day. Because that is the song that routed Israel's enemies. They called the Lord good, and he sent angels before them to defeat all of their enemies. How many of you want to face your enemies alone? How many of you want God to face your enemies for you? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you that you are good, that you never leave us, nor do you forsake us, but you call us to draw near to you. Lord, we thank you that your goodness is everlasting. We thank you that your goodness allows us to experience with our vision, our sense of smell, our sense of touch, our hearing, and our taste, heaven. Lord, we thank you that you allow us the glory of your presence and your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are doing a work in Ron that will touch generations that we might not even know because you are good. Lord, we thank you that you are touching people groups through Ron and Lisa because you are good. Lord, we thank you that you are orchestrating the situations and the circumstances in the lives of every man, woman, and child in this house, yeah, because you are good. Yeah. Lord, we thank you that our destiny is sure because you are good. Lord, we thank you that we can believe your word because you are good. Lord Jesus, you are the goodness of God made manifest in the flesh. Lord Jesus, you are our hope that the goodness of God will be made manifest in the presence of our enemies. Lord, you are the goodness of God, that all that he has said he will do, he will do. Lord, we repent that we have doubted your prophetic words, that we have treated them as babble coming from the mouth of men and women. But out of your goodness, you sent prophets to speak to us. Out of your goodness, you sent other prophets to confirm the word. Lord, out of your goodness, you call your word back to yourself, fulfilling the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, we decree tonight that you are good and that your mercy endures forever. Lord, whatever my brothers and sisters have need of, I ask that you would show them your goodness. Lord, that you would confront us face to face and that you would continue the heart surgery that you began so that in your goodness we would have the testimony of faith toward God and faithfulness unto God, that your name would be glorified everywhere we go. Lord, we decree tonight that you are good and we thank you for your goodness. Amen. Well, have a blessed week. We'll see you on Thursday for the dinner. We'll see you next door for fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Keep Rob Semple in prayer. And the whole Olympia team as they move on in the sectionals. Love you all. Have a blessed week.